Please welcome Adrian Harris.
Thank you. So this is a little last minute because I have a toddler, so everything in my life is a little last minute right now. So I went to high school and college in the 90s. It was, you know, when we all wore flannel and Birkenstocks everywhere, and I really miss that. And I actually just read an article on Facebook the other day. Supposedly 90s fashion is on its way back, so I'm pretty excited about that. I miss the grunge a little bit. And I graduated college in 1998 and was ready to go off into my bright future. And I decided that part of that bright future was going to be serving in the Peace Corps. So if you know anything about the Peace Corps application process, it's a little lengthy, number of steps involved in that. And one of the steps involved in the process is they ask you what your preference is. What continent would you like to serve on? So I said, I would like to serve first in Africa, and then I guess my backup choice would be Central America. So I was surprised when they finally called me about a year later that their site that they had chosen for me was the Philippines. And I had to check the map to make sure I still knew where the Philippines was, but I was pretty sure it was not in Africa or Central America. It's in Southeast Asia. But I said, yes, okay, I'm going to go to the Philippines. And you go, and you really don't know what's going to happen to you when you join the Peace Corps. They don't tell you a lot about what you'll be doing or where you will be, and it's kind of a leap of faith. So I arrived in Manila with the rest of the new volunteers, and it was foreign. It was definitely different than my middle-class upbringing in Midwest United States. And, you know, you adjust to things like not really having running water and having variable electricity and kind of always having just a little bit of a language barrier. And you just adjust to these kinds of things. You adjust to the fact that you are never going to blend in. You are always going to stick out. And you have training for about 2 months, and they shoot you up with lots of shots in your butt, and then they send you to your site. And my site was on a little island called Bantayan. It's 8 hours from the second largest city in the country, in the middle part of the country. So I had to take a bus and a boat to get to my site. And I was also 8 hours from the nearest volunteer. And I was the only white girl on my island. And I had a really great family that I lived with there. I lived and actually pretty high rent accommodations. I had a cement block house with a corrugated metal roof that we all lived in together. And we had a refrigerator and a TV. And the refrigerator was a pretty important piece of my host mother's business. She was the popsicle salesman to all the kids in the neighborhood. So as long as we had enough electricity all day, then the popsicles were frozen and ready to go when school let out and we could, you know, the sales were on. And so you have, when you're a Peace Corps volunteer, you know, you have that self that was in the United States. And then you have a self, your Peace Corps self, and you kind of create this person. And, you know, so perhaps you now wear shorts made out of flour sacks and you scrunch down in the bus to try and be the same height as everybody else. But you're never gonna blend in. You're always gonna stand out a little bit and everybody's gonna gossip about you. You're very interesting, novel item on island. I remember one time I was biking down the road and someone came out to their front yard and said, boy, oh my God, an American is driving down the road. And that was kind of my life. Boy being one of the most common nicknames in the country. So you just need to learn to adapt to that. And one of the other things the Peace Corps gives you to adapt to your life is a big packet in a blue box, kind of the same color as my hoodie here. And it has all kinds of useful items in it, like a book that explains all the many tropical diseases that you could get while you're serving there. It also has some film canisters in it. This is back when we all used film to take photos. You know, just in case you needed to take a stool sample and go get it analyzed. you know, pretty much all of us had a number of different parasites throughout our time there. There was also a glass slide in it. So if you felt like you might be getting the symptoms of malaria, the instructions were for you to prick your finger and put the blood on that slide and then take the anti-malarial medicines and go direct to the city, to the hospital as soon as possible. And then you would have your slide with you so they could check and make sure if you had actually contracted malaria or not. Luckily, I never contracted malaria or dengue or any of those because I was an avid user of my bug net, another item that I had in my teal box of supplies was my mosquito netting. And it was great. It kept mosquitoes off. It kept gecko poop from falling on you. It kept scorpions out as well. Although I have to say one of my friends was kind of itching in the middle of the night and did find a scorpion in her shirt. So it didn't work so well for her, but I never had any scorpions in my bug net. The one thing that it did not keep out of my bug net were spiders. So I would quite frequently wake up in the morning with a spider bite here or two on my body. So I should say the other 90s fashion thing that I was sporting back then were toe rings. Do you guys remember toe rings? And the toe rings that I had were all the way around your foot. There was no gap. So the way you got this toe ring on, because if you look at your toes, you know, they're skinny, and then there's a big fat bit at the end of your toe. So to get the toe ring to fit the skinny part of your toe, you would kind of oil it up with some baby oil and jam it on there over the big part of the toe. And then it would stay on. It wouldn't come off. So I had toe rings on both feet, a couple on one foot, and then on the other foot I had this very pretty silver toe ring with a floral design on it. It was a substantially sized ring for a toe. And one morning I woke up at 6 a.m. with the sun blaring into my room, and I noticed, oh, I had been bitten by a spider again that night on my toe, the toe with the big, pretty floral toe ring on it. And unfortunately, it had already swelled up quite a bit in the night before I had woke up. So I got some sunscreen out, and because it was oily, and was oiling my toe, and try as I might, I could not get this toe ring off. My toe was already just way too swollen for that. So I was a little stressed about that. And I can tend to be a little bit of a drama queen, and I definitely started thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna lose a toe. It's gonna like fall off, it's gonna lose circulation. What am I gonna do? And I thought about my mom. I thought, you know, my mother has, throughout her life, had her wedding ring cut off a number of times from her hand swelling up too much. And I remembered that she had gone to the emergency room to get that done, that in the emergency room, they had this special tool that was to cut jewelry off of you safely. So, okay. Well, we don't have any hospitals on my island, and we don't have any emergency rooms on my island. But we do have a clinic. We have a clinic here. I've never been to it, but that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to the clinic, and somebody's going to be able to help me. So I went downstairs, and I stole one of the popsicles out of the freezer because I thought, well, if I ice my toe, it'll help with the swelling. So I hiked through the cornfield, and I hiked up the little dirt road to the big dirt road, and I flagged down our version of Uber, which was a motorcycle with a sidecar. And I said, please, give me a ride to the clinic. I need to get to the clinic. And so he kindly drove me the 20 minutes into town to the clinic, which was also a cement block building with a corrugated metal roof. And in it, we had I think he was a doctor and a nurse on duty. And I will say that this is a testament to the gossip chain in my island that within 5 minutes of being in the clinic, both of my coworkers were there. Somebody had told them, and they were showing up to figure out what the heck was going on with the American right now. So they came and we conversed, and I tried to explain my situation. And after we had to get over the fact that somehow I was wearing jewelry on my toes, and that was a really bizarre thing, we had to figure out how we were get them off me, because you know we didn't have one of those fancy cutting off jewelry items here. So there was a lot of conversing that I didn't quite follow because I didn't speak Bantayanan as well as you know native speakers. But finally, the doctor produced out of a drawer a pair of scissors and a very large kitchen knife. And you remember the Ginsu knives, right? The commercial, like it cuts through anything. I don't know if this was one of them, but I'd like to think in my memory that that's what it was. And so I guess the plan was devised that we would hold the ring off my toe just a little bit with the scissors. You know, we could just kind of stick them under there and try and get some leverage. And we would take the knife and we would just saw at that toe ring. So then I thought, great, I'm not going to just lose one toe. I'm going to lose all the toes on my foot. But somehow I said yes to this idea. And so there we were. The doctor, you know, because he's the most qualified person there, picked up the toe ring with the scissors and was sawing away at it with the knife. And I'm closing my eyes thinking, please, I want all five toes. Please, I want all five toes. Please, I want all five toes. Well, those of you in the front row can look at my toes and see that I do, in fact, have five toes on both of my feet, luckily. So we did successfully cut my ring off my toe with the kitchen knife. And as they plopped it into my hand, the nurse leaned over to me and she said in Bantayanan, so are you going to keep that? And at that point, I said, I don't want to ever see a toe ring again in my life. You can have it. I have no idea to this day what she did with it, but she took it home with her. And I went with home and have not worn toe ring since. And you could just chalk that up to one of the many funny stories that my coworkers got to tell about me during my time on the small island in the Philippines.